All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. And I'll just remind you guys that the Right Side Way monologue every day brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law, and he is the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. And I will tell you more about Stan McDonald here in just a few minutes. All right, so let me just kick this off. I'm going to talk about spending. All right, government and spending. Woo! All right. It was reported yesterday that the Alabama State Senate just set a new record for proposed spending. A record $12 billion education budget. Just the education budget, $12 billion. That's huge. And that's, by the way, light years away from where we were when I was elected back in 2010. $10 billion of that is fixed. The rest of it is in the form of, you know, supplemental spending and things that they'll spend it on if they have enough money. But wow, still. Well, if you're not familiar, the education budget in Alabama is funded mostly by sales taxes and income taxes. It's a product of the teachers' union influence, still carries over from the past. They got all the best revenue streams for themselves. Undoing that now is like trying to do a Rubik's Cube. The education budget gains when people are working, basically, and spending. So if people have jobs and they're working a lot, and if people are spending more in the stores, then the education budget's doing well. And it would appear Senate Republicans believe that people are working and spending at a pretty good pace and that they have a budget surplus at their disposal to appropriate. Is that good news? Maybe. But consider this. 2 years ago, the legislature passed a great tax cut. It was a great tax cut. We've talked about it on the show. No state income tax for overtime pay. It's a great plan. And by the way, it's worked. Folks are working more overtime. Businesses are getting more employees. It's growth, and it exceeded all forecasts. And it meant that the state was actually giving back $300 million to taxpayers. Guess where that money would normally go? The education budget. The education budget, you know, the one that has a surplus. They just passed a $12 billion spending budget, but they don't want to renew the tax cut. So they're willing to take away something from people that amounts to literally less than 1% of the overall budget because they feel like they gave back too much, I guess. It means literally they've got a surplus budget, which they think to be a bad thing as regards to tax cuts. It means they have too much of your money if you get down to it. And they don't want to give it back. Look, you hear about the money in government all the time. And then sometimes you get a glimpse of it, and it can be both astounding and appalling. And in the midst of good times, fat times, one of the best and worst terms you can hear in regards to government is the words combined budget surplus. Because on the one hand, you would much rather know that those in charge of your government, they engage the appropriations, the spending, and the revenue collections, and the economic development all in such a way that government did well and didn't have to declare a budget shortfall. Shortfalls are never good. It's never a good thing to find out the government did not collect enough money and is now having to cut essential services. But notice I didn't say cutting government labor force, because that never happens. They only cut services, things that you and I need. Budget shortfall? Bad. Budget shortfall means lean times are upon us. But then there's that other term that I talked about. Budget surplus. It's just the opposite. Budget surplus, which can mean that there's evidence that an economy is thriving and that revenues are up. Except that you have to also consider that budget processes are first and foremost based upon projections. In other words, they plan the budgets well in advance of seeing the money because they have projections of what they believe is going to come in. So that would mean that they should have foreseen the amount of revenue and budgeted accordingly, and yet they still wound up with more than they needed. They've got a budget surplus. Even the most expert of opinions can go awry, and sometimes in the positive direction, and suddenly, voila, you have extra money. Budget surplus, that's awesome. But is it possible, though, for a budget surplus to be a bad thing? And the short answer is yes. Because basically, when government has more money than it needed to operate, it means, in essence, they took too much from the taxpayers to begin with. And when you combine a government surplus with a lean economy and inflation, well, at that point, government begins to look a bit heartless. We're paying more at the store, paying more to government, keeping less in our pockets, taking fewer vacations while government winds up having extra to spend. Well, that's when budget surplus becomes a bad thing. When it's all about the Benjamins and nothing about the taxpayer. Look, I've seen it before. When I was in the Pentagon, I remember coming to the close of a fiscal year and word came down from the comptroller for our department. Hey, year end's on us. We got to use it or lose it. Please submit your capital expense list ASAP for approval. Get those acquisitions in the hopper by, you know, tonight. Use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. What an asinine concept. What an awful, asinine concept. Use it or lose it basically means that the powers that be are going to be appropriating next year's monies from the legislative branch in the coming budget. And if you wind up with more money left over, they might not give you the same amount. Or God forbid, they might give you less. Meanwhile, the average citizen runs their household, their private business, just the opposite. In the private world, when you have funds left over at the year end, that means success. You can issue a shareholder dividend. You could take a trip to Disney World. Or here's a novel idea. You can put it in a savings account for a possible lean day in the future. Well, during my time in the state Senate, I chaired the Committee on Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development. A research committee was formed at one point, of which I was a part, and it was designed to review government spending and the various processes related to state budgets in Montgomery. Well, I had just discovered something as a part of my chairmanship that really chapped me. So I asked if I could use some of my time on this special committee to do some research on Alabama governmental departments and their budgeting processes. So I did. And my secretary began putting together a notebook that just kept on growing and growing and growing. We nicknamed the notebook Big Bertha, and we left it out in my office for anybody who wanted to come by and review it. You see, what I discovered was, quite accidentally, that there was one department that actually handled the state of Alabama's telecommunications. It actually billed other departments to handle all of their IT and telephone services. One government department actually billing another department for its services. Hello, don't taxpayers already pay for that? So the telecommunications department, I learned, whose services were not that great, by the way, made a good bit of extra money every year. I got a copy of their records, and for the past 10 fiscal years before that, I was shocked to learn they had what was called a rollover account, in which they carried extra money from one year to the next. So basically, this department appropriated funds through the legislative budget process, and then they billed the other departments while they were still on the taxpayer dime. And the other departments had to just factor that into their budget requests, and they could care less. But the telecommunications department, it was not breaking even. Oh no, they were profiting. They had a running budget surplus in the tens of millions of dollars, but yet they kept bellying up to the budget bar to get their next tranche of taxpayer funds without worrying about whether they still had money left over. They were just content to make a profit on the taxpayer dime. So I decided to find out how many other departments had funds left over at the end of each year, and there were a lot of them sitting on their budget surpluses and still asking for more. So I made them all come in for a public hearing and show cause as to why that should even be allowed to continue. Some of them got mad. Some were embarrassed. Some were just indifferent. But we shut down some of it. Now listen, I'm not so libertarian in my views that I don't believe that government has a role. It certainly does. I've said it before. I know that there are essential services like infrastructure and law enforcement and national defense and the court system and a whole lot more that have a definite place and they should be provided for by your government. And I know those things cost money. I'm also not one of those who believes that politicians ought to work for free. That's ridiculous. You get what you pay for. And most folks don't want to go bankrupt in public service, nor should they. But right now, Alabama is sitting on a massive budget surplus, unlike anything we've ever experienced in the history of our state. And yet, they are, you know, sort of less seemly kind of surpluses. They're the kind that come from having received too much revenue during hard times. Basically, they took more of our money at a time when you needed your money more than ever. It's the kind that comes from, you know, caring more about the Benjamins and less about the citizens. So keep in mind that the more money may seem better than less money, but more money taken from private citizens just to fund big government well in excess of what is needed, that should never result in a rollover account. That should never result in a year-end profit. Government ought to be in the business of doing its services, not making a profit on the back of its taxpayers. There should also never be a use-it-or-lose-it spending spree. Budget surplus ought to be mandated to result in some form of revenue-sharing tax refund to the citizens of the state. And I don't mean, by the way, a simple one-time token payment to appease the masses. You get that one check in the mail. Here's your $37 for being a good citizen. I'm talking about reform. I mean, stop taking so much money in the first place. Maybe, just maybe, we'll see something one day that tells us that the government, state and federal, cares more about the people and less about the Benjamins. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.